Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
You gotta love this. This whole idea that reporters are under attack. The First Amendment, you may have heard of this, is totally under attack because Jim Acosta is entitled to a press pass. And, you know, it doesn't matter that everybody's only supposed to have one turn, to ask a question. He gets two or three because he's just so much smarter. And if anybody objects to that, including the other reporters who don't get to ask a question because he's obnoxious, well, that's because they're Nazis, too. That's pretty much the position CNN has taken. Okay, oh, yeah. Did you see this? This is so funny. Washington Post warning that this whole lawsuit where Acosta sues, they go find a liberal judge is what they do in this country. And you can get anything you want, basically, that way. The liberal judge will then just rule. That you can have whatever you like. It's great to be a liberal judge in America. And so that's what happened with Acosta. But here's the problem. The liberal judge also said that, okay, Acosta can have his press pass back because there's no due process. In other words, there's no set of rules saying if you do this, this, and this, you'll lose your press pass. So Trump went, okay, I'll write some.
Yeah.
So now it'll be really clear what you can do to lose your press pass. And I guarantee you it'll be the disruptive stuff that Jim Acosta does every day. And so Washington Post was like, wait. This may not be a victory. Because Trump may now be able to boo. Do you realize that CNN as an organization, they're out there screaming and yelling discrimination. Do you realize they as an organization have 50 press passes?
Oh, yeah.
50.
Yeah, there's...
It's this idea that they have been denied their First Amendment rights and cut off.
This has nothing to do with the First Amendment.
No, you can send somebody other than Acosta. He doesn't have a right to get into the White House to dominate a press conference and ask multiple questions, taking other people's time. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I love this. This is newly elected Representative Dan Crenshaw. He is a Navy SEAL.
Yes.
Who lost his eye while fighting for his country, which they think is hilarious on Saturday Night Live. They think that is really funny to lose your eye. It's something you make jokes about. That guy eventually apologized while making fun of Dan Crenshaw. But anyway, Representative Dan Crenshaw is on CBS, right? And some whack job reporter is going off on how the media was attacked by Trump. They're under attack, and they are just literally on the verge of losing their First Amendment rights because Jim Acosta doesn't get to dominate the White House press conferences anymore, or didn't until he got his press pass back, right? So she uses the terminology, we're under attack, we're being brutalized, it's terrible. Crenshaw, again, the Navy SEAL who lost his eye in an actual attack, weighed in. It was awesome.
I would argue that our president is consistently disruptive in those very same press conferences, and I would argue that he treats them with
disrespect. How is that an attack on the press, though?
Because it's literally an attack.
Oh, I've literally been attacked, so let's choose our words carefully.
Yeah. He's a guy without an eye.
Yeah, the guy sitting there with the eye patch lost in combat, the Navy SEAL, who knows what an attack is. This is part of the problem with words in this country. We're changing the definition of words. We're overusing violence or the implication that there is violence involved when you simply say something someone does not like. This is ridiculous. Crenshaw did an excellent job of, I think, putting these people in their place, all these sanctimonious liberal journalists on that CBS morning show there, and put them in their place. There is no attack on the media. Yes, the president is saying things that the media does not like. He is accusing them of covering or making up fake news. I think that he has a point in some cases. Some of the cases, I think he's going a little bit over the top. But that's what you get to do as a political figure. You get to exaggerate details on a daily basis, okay? And then it's up to the media to determine the degree of exaggeration. But to simply call out the president and say that he is attacking the media and that our First Amendment rights are... What are you talking about? I mean, you folks have not been... Here's what an attack on the media would be. CBS Network News was shut down today by U.S. federal troops. The head of CBS was let off in handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit, and the reporters were also detained as well. That would be an attack on the U.S. media.
Right, which, by the way, if it happened at Fox News, all the rest of the networks would cheer. Just the removal of some racists.
And even though Fox News took up for Acosta, I don't agree with Fox taking up for Acosta. I think he's a jerk. And he is a grandstander in a fine CBS tradition of grandstanding journalist. But he's a grandstander. That's all there is to it. And quite honestly, I think I would have preferred that the president just simply not call on him and because I think that this is something that is not really advancing. It's not making up any political points either way. You know, the right's going to love it. The left's going to hate it. Those in the middle, they'll make up their mind. Big deal. Let's move on.
By the way, that judge did rule that Trump does not have to call.
No, he doesn't. Doesn't have to call on anybody.
No.
You know what? I'm sorry. The White House gets to make the rules. I think that a Democrat administration should get to make the rules in the White House press corps. The Republican president or a Libertarian, whatever administration comes in, they should be able to make the rules. Now, if they simply don't have any press conferences or they don't allow specific networks to join, that could be a bit of a problem. But this whole thing about it being a due process issue, I'm at a loss.
But it is. I mean, my question here is again,
there's no civil or criminal reason or charges or anything that or laws that have been broken here. There's no due process.
Well, no, but if there is due process, and CNN has 50 press passes, just Acosta didn't have one. Well, again, Breitbart and the Gateway Pundit, they have a committee. That it's a congressional committee where they take input for journalists and they decide who gets a press pass, basically. And bottom line, they all voted that Breitbart and Gateway Pundit couldn't have a press pass. Not even one. CNN has 50. What about their supposed due process rights? Why does CNN, according to natural law, get 50 press passes? And Breitbart, which was right on their heels until social media throttling of Hitch, does not. It's just because they're better. Well, I mean, even Larry King, who used to oversee CNN, you know, was executive over there, said, listen, CNN is not a news organization anymore. It is a political organization. They don't do news anymore. They do slant. I mean, that's the guy who basically ran CNN day to day. So, I mean, here's the question. If that's what he thinks, why do they have 50 press passes and Breitbart has not even one? Where's their due process rights? Oh, they don't have any. They don't count.
I just think we're confusing. I don't know. Just regarding this as due process, I still don't get it. I just don't think that it's due process to me is when you've got a criminal or civil charge against you. And I don't see this. I think this is elevating this to a level that is it is not worthy of.
By the way, can you imagine if a sitting, this is on another subject, a sitting Republican Congress member suggested nuking people? Are there members in blue states that disagree with us?
Yeah.
Can you even imagine? It would be never ending. They're causing the next mass shooting and death everywhere. And it's sorry. Okay. I mean, this is the headline. This is what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
California Democrat says U.S. would win short war against gun rights advocates because the government has nukes.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Just kill them. If they won't turn. I mean, that's what he said. Just, you know, we're going to have gun buyback. And if the law-abiding gun owners will not turn their guns over, then we'll nuke them.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? That's totally mainstream.
And you're absolutely right. Had this been said by some Republican person about the Obama administration or a Hillary Clinton administration, they would have. Oh gosh, it's just
Trump would be asked about it. He would have to condemn it. Yeah. Liberals will never be asked about this. Here's how it happened. Okay, U.S. Representative Eric Swalwell on Friday. So the U.S. government would use its nuclear weapons, in a hypothetical war against Second Amendment supporters refusing to give up their firearms. The sad thing, Lee, you're laughing. He was not joking.
Oh, I know.
He's serious. The California Democrat, who is openly considering a run for the Democrat Party's presidential nomination in 2020, made the outlandish remark on social media after a gun rights advocate pointed out that the lawmaker once called for gun owners to surrender their assault weapons. So basically, at Rep. Swalwell wants a war. The gun rights advocate wrote, because that's what you would get. You're out of your blanking mind if you think I'll give up my rights and give the government all the power, Joe Biggs tweeted at Swalwell. This prompted Swalwell to defend himself, saying it would be a short war because the government has nukes.
Oh, could you imagine the collateral damage, Congressman, if you tried to use nuclear weapons against Second Amendment rights supporters?
They're not real specific, you know what I mean? Like, you can't just take out, like, anyway. I don't know, what's he going to do, take out the whole upstate?
Well, as usual, you've got a Democrat that doesn't know anything about military weaponry.
No, but you know what this does say to me, his just off-the-cuff response? Again, this is proof of what I say all the time. The Democrats are not against massive firepower. They're not against guns. They're not against destruction with fireable weapons. They just don't want you to have
any.
They want to control.
Yes, exactly.
But they don't want you to have any. Yeah. I mean, the guy even, Amy writes, he's not joking here. And it would be a short war, my friend. The government has nukes. Okay. So you're essentially saying, sir, that we should kill everyone who disagrees with you.
Nuke the Second Amendment. That's what he's talking about.
This would be political suicide for a Republican. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'd just kill everyone who disagrees
with you. Probably a resume enhancer for him.
Yeah, absolutely, because this is the kind of thing they love. To the text line we go. It's 71307 to text in your thoughts. Texter writes, if one reporter being banned from the White House is a violation of the First Amendment, then a ban on any gun is a violation of my Second Amendment rights. Great point. Texter writes, the press conferences are held in the White House, presently Trump's home. He should have the right to choose who comes into his home to confront him. Good point. Texter writes, do you think Eric Swalwell, who suggested over the weekend killing everybody who disagrees with him about turning their lawfully purchased firearms in a mandatory gun buyback that he, of course, himself wants to sponsor as a Democrat congressman, suggested killing them all? Which, you know, is of course what we would do. It would make so much sense, right? No, wait. No, he suggested specifically nuking them. Do you think Swalwell is related to that pro-confiscation sheriff in Buncombe County? Who knows? Texter writes, at least when they nuke the upstate Woodruff Road, traffic will be fixed. Okay. Texter writes, as that idiot advocates nuking people who keep their guns, he is confirming, oh, this is a great point. As that idiot, Representative Swalwell, advocates nuking people who keep their guns, he is confirming the biggest reason to have our guns, unbridled government force. Yeah. What's his message? You don't need that gun to, you don't need that gun to oppose government. And if you don't give it up, we'll nuke you. Okay. You just lost the argument, sir. Texter writes, the frightening thing about, this is a great point too. The frightening thing about Congressman Swalwell is that under the 1947 Presidential Succession Act, he is in line to be president in the event of a catastrophic attack. Oh, boy. Which he wants to do if you won't turn over your guns. Texter writes, if CNN had fired Acosta, would he be able to sue them for violating his First Amendment rights? Great point. Let's see. No, that's okay. Right. Speaking of frightening things, this is fascinating. You know, we're told over and over and over and over again that Trump is a nationalist. And ergo, a white nationalist, because it sounds the same. And that's very racist. And it's very Hitlerian, because, you know, Hitler was a nationalist. And so that means Trump's like Hitler, and he wants to be a nationalist, and that's bad. And besides, no one agrees with him. Actually, 50% of Americans agree with Trump, nationalism versus globalism. It's a new study out by survey out by Rasmussen Reports, versus 53% who say, no, I don't care about myself or my family. Do whatever's best for the globe. All right, so the idea that Trump is somehow in the minority here, and this is a wild view of his that nobody else has, he's just way out of the mainstream, not true. It's the media that's way out of the mainstream. But where did this idea of nationalism versus globalism come from? The idea that nationalism is always bad, and we really shouldn't have nationalism, but you should be a globalist sort of person if you're a good person. Where did that first come from? Hitler? No. Do you know where it originated? Somebody on the text line got it earlier. I'm going to give them credit. Joseph Stalin said that. You know Stalin. Killed tens of millions. He was a great guy. In the USSR. But I mean, okay, Stalin, yes. But before Stalin, where did Stalin get the idea that globalism was the way to go? And I'll tell you why he thought that in a minute. Where did he get that idea? Straight out of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. Folks, when they are trashing nationalism and pushing globalism, they are literally pushing Communist Party propaganda at you. And nobody even realizes, nobody knows their history anymore. The Communist Manifesto of 1848, which led to the deaths of 100 million people under communist rule in the next century, a terribly tragic thing that it was ever written. Those sentiments were universalistic. They were all globalists. The Communist Manifesto writes in detail about the advantages of globalism and declares nationalism dead. The thought there, which was also a thought espoused by Stalin because he was obviously a student of Marx, was that workers, the working class in country after country after country had a lot more in common with themselves than they did with other, you know, simple members of their of their individual country. In other words, the goal long term was globalism, that they would have global rule, of course, communistic rule, and that the worker would have more in common with other workers of their same station in life internationally, and that they would move the world. They would rule the world. And during World War I, the Marxists of Second International even attempted to convince the, you know, working class members of different countries not to fight each other in World War I, saying basically, you know, you needed to take a globalist point of view that you have more in common with the other workers. You shouldn't fight other workers. You should overthrow your nationalistic leaders and all be globalist. Even the word globalism comes straight out of Marx, Communist Manifesto. Folks, we are being fed communist talking points straight out of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, which argued against nationalism and for globalism, using exactly those terms. And nobody knows. Just nobody has anything, any idea about history. And so the media can go, Hitler! Andrea Mitchell even compared Trump to Stalin, which you couldn't twist history up worse than that. This idea of nationalism was an enemy of communism because they want what? One world rule by the party. And they even go on to explain in the Communist Manifesto, and this is what Joseph Stalin preached, that patriotism is good, and they'll tell you this on CNN, patriotism is good, that's your loyalty to the party, which is, of course, the Communist Party. But nationalism is bad. You should not love your country, just the party. And so patriotism and nationalism are two different things. That is exactly what Emmanuel Macron was saying, the head of France, last week, when he said that, boy, this is terrifying, when he said that nationalism is treason, but patriotism is okay. That is the same distinction that was made by Joseph Stalin, who killed tens of millions, and by Karl Marx. Patriotism is good. It's loyalty to your country's version of the Communist Party, but you cannot be loyal to your country. Listen, you know where they practice this? One of the most remarkable stories. You know what they did in China during the Communist Revolution? They dragged, what are they called? Those little Chinese dogs. Oh, what are they called? I forget. They're very distinctive looking. I cannot remember what they, it's a breed. Oh, I forget. I forget. Anyway, it was China's national dog breed. What was it? Darn, I forget. Thank you, Pekingese. Christy, my backup brain. You're a little slow this morning as well. You need to be a little faster in the draw there if you're going to be my backup brain.
Sorry, I was doing things in here.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's a little faster next time, please. The Pekingese. Do you know what they did? They dragged those dogs out of people's homes and killed them. They just killed them right there on the street. If you did not turn over your Pekingese for slaughter, you were considered to be a nationalist. Why? Because all symbols of national pride, including the national dog, were destroyed. There was to be no nationalism, only loyalty to the party. So anything affiliated with nationalism, Chinese pride, Chinese cultural pride would be destroyed in an effort to wipe out nationalism so that communism could take hold. And we literally have CNN, MSNBC, the mainstream media using these talking points. They're Stalin's talking points. They're Marx's talking points. And nobody realizes it. Isn't that insane? Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
All right, so a St. Louis teacher fired. So this is, now this is not the same guy who was transferred to another school and lost his job because he refused to watch middle school age girls change in the boys' dressing room.
Oh.
Which, that is so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
You know, like as a mom, if I hear, okay, there's a male in there watching a middle school age girl change, like underage girl, yeah, whoa, call the police.
Yeah.
That was the reaction of the country 5 years ago, but times have changed. Now, that was a transgender individual who's still fully intact. It was in Florida last week. So he refused to oversee that. Made him feel awkward. And besides, he thought it wasn't right. And then besides, he thought it was illegal in the boys' restroom. And so he was he lost his job, was transferred. Okay. This week's teacher tally includes this St. Louis teacher fired after thanking kids for standing during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Jim Furkin, it turns out, was fired in October after he thanked children for standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. This offended one student, so Jim lost his teaching gig. You cannot have them offended. You know what I mean? Like, if we get offended, you know, it doesn't, we know.
No, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, say you, I don't know, put yourself on Facebook wearing, I don't know, a MAGA hat and with Chick-fil-A in your hand. And, like, you lost your, you know, musical instrument gig there, you know, your opening for the opening act. You know, for what, ZZ Top? That's what happened to One Greenville Man. You shouldn't be upset about that at all.
Of course not.
I mean, what if you're offended? Well, go pound sand, I guess. A Missouri teacher is seeking answers after claiming he was banned because he thanked students for saying the Pledge of Allegiance to him. Frickin, was working as a substitute for 10 years in St. Louis County's Parkway School District. For 5 years as a sub at Parkway South High School. He told the school board Thursday that he was subbing in a freshman English class at Southside in October. And he said during the pledge, most, but not all students stood. He says he thanked those who stood. And then afterwards, one student went to a counselor. An administrator told Firkin the student complained he had been hurt by Firkin's comment.
Why in the world would anybody want to go into the teaching profession anymore?
I just think it's impossible to make everyone happy. I just don't see how you do it.
Just,
you know?
Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, I predicted the idea of this Chinese-style social credit system would catch on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like it's like your actual financial credit, you know, where you get a score.
Yeah, I think that teacher must have failed.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah, so in China, this is how it goes now. I mean, so everything you buy, everything you read, everything you watch, they track. You know, I mean, if they would rather you ate, you know, if quinoa this month instead of something else, and you get credits for that if you don't do with the quinoa.
Who is quinoa?
Quinoa is how it's spelled. You know, quinoa.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just you.
No, it's a food.
It's a food.
I thought you were, okay.
Right.
All right, whatever. No, just, I'm clueless.
Food. Yeah, so if they would rather you be vegetarian, or if they would rather you watch this movie over that one, you get social credit score. The government tracks everything you do and they score you. And if you have a low social credit score, even if you're not, you know, a political dissident and arrestable, anybody who hangs out with you, their score goes down. And so, you know, even if it's your mom, your dad, your spouse, you'll just have to get a divorce. Because if you got a low credit score, you're not allowed to work. And that's how they starve you. It's great. So I predicted it would be only a matter of time before leftists, you know, got to look at something that exciting and wanted to do it here. Had to happen. Here we go. Democrat presidential candidate proposes China-style social credit system. How exciting. New York entrepreneur and Democrat 2020 candidate Andrew Yang, who's been campaigning for president for 9 months now. Oh, he's a socialist, by the way. Wants to implement a system in which a government-run mobile app rewards Americans with digital social credits for good behavior. And if they behave really well, you know, in the judgment of the government, then they get free stuff like trips to places they want to go.
So I guess it wouldn't be a good idea if I just was binge watching movies like Patton and watching YouTube videos about a similar AR-15 at home.
No.
Probably wouldn't work, go over too well. Drifting by internal combustion engine vehicles. Yeah, that's probably out too, because, you know, you're burning gas and rubber at the same time.
Now, he says it's going to be so much better than the Chinese system because it's not punitive. You only
Of course not.
Right, well, the first year. Yeah, so, you get positive points for things like participating in a town fair, fixing a neighbor's appliance, tutoring a student. And then you can use those that you've earned over your lifetime for experience. So in other words, you want to go to like Hawaii, the government will send you there at taxpayer expense. I guess that's paid for by the people who don't have a good social credit score. Isn't that how that works?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. He says, but don't worry. It won't be anything like China's because they're not going to deny you a job. You know, nobody would ever use this to decide who to hire.
Not yet.
That will never happen. I told you, they'd get a look at it, the left, and they would want to do it here.
Yeah.
And here we go. There you go.
Yeah, nobody will ever use social security numbers for identification.
Exactly. I know, that's so silly.
Like it actually says on the card.
Ever do that, I know.
Not for identification purposes, what it actually says on the card I have.
Right. Because that will never happen. And if you think that will happen, that's because you're just paranoid. There's something wrong with you. We should lower your social credit score. Right?
Oh, I still remember the day that I traumatized someone. I was signing up my kid for soccer, and they wanted his social security number. And they said,
for soccer?
Said, we have to have it for insurance. I said, no, you don't. He's on my insurance policy. Well, we have to have it. I said, no, you're not getting it. And then one of the coaches came over there and said, it's okay, fine. Just sign him up. Don't worry about that. I'm just, and this was like, you know, 15 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
I know. I had to write the kid's social security number. I kid you not, like 10 times for each child on all those repetitive documents when you sign them up for school.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, wow, how many hands touch this? It is a wonder all their social security numbers aren't stolen.
Oh, I went nuts years ago. I got a note, but apparently one of our kids was getting lunches and we didn't know it. And we owed money. So it's like, okay, fine. But they sent home the notice, and the notice had our child's name, address, and social security number on the piece of paper.
Nice. Because you know kids lose stuff like that all the time.
And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah, papers that go into the book bag could end up just about anywhere.
Oh, yeah, please. And well, no, I don't want to go there. I'm just saying that some employees sometimes in certain areas of education are not very trustworthy. So.
Yeah, well,
not teachers' administration.
Yeah.
And not the janitors either.
No, with somebody. Well, anyway, so this whole globalism thing, globalism versus nationalism that the media is preaching right now, nobody stopped to ask where that idea came from. Straight out of Karl Marx, Communist Manifesto, where they actually used the terms globalism and, okay. Texter writes, Tara, it comes to no surprise, globalism is a Marxist concept. What is more frightening, the fact that no one seems to remember this or how well it all seems to be falling into place.
Well, how can they remember it when they're not taught it?
No, they can't. And so, I mean, you literally have Andrea Mitchell comparing Trump to Stalin for wanting to be nationalist. Well, Stalin actually went by the Communist Manifesto and helped stamp out nationalism. You were supposed to be patriotic, yes, but only to the party, never to the country.
Right.
And so when you have Emmanuel Macron, terrifyingly, the head of France, saying that nationalism is treason, that is exactly what Stalin said. Almost exact words, except Stalin wasn't speaking French. But pretty close. That was what the communist Chinese believed as well, because they followed the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. So this whole idea Trump is a white supremacist for wanting to be a nationalist, so he's Hitlerian. No, actually, you guys are Stalinists, because that came right out of the Communist Manifesto. And nobody even bothers to challenge them on this. And we're literally using Communist Manifesto ideas in this country. And nobody seems to recognize. Well, whatever. All right, I must confess, I am already on Thanksgiving vacation. Okay, in my mind, I am. Do you feel like that? Then I feel like, I don't know, after this weekend, you should have still been on vacation. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I finally got all my my Thanksgiving shopping done like this weekend. Normally I'm running around like a turkey with its head chopped off on Wednesday. When, half the stuff is gone and I have to send my husband out to try to figure out where it is. Yeah. They always run out of stuff I need. So I got it all done this weekend. It was awesome. Anyway, national map of most popular Thanksgiving recipes in every state. What is that recipe you have, Thanksgiving recipe that you just love? That's just heads and tails above everything else. For South Carolina, it's sweet potato casserole, which I've got the best sweet potato casserole recipe. I do. I talked about this earlier. My mother-in-law made it for my husband. He was growing up, and it is good. I don't even like sweet potato casserole at all, but I love this sweet potato casserole. Especially not the kind with the marshmallow. Ugh. Marshmallows. Yuck. They're meant for s'mores and nothing else. Anyway, so I loved it, and I really wanted it so I could make it for him when we were engaged. And so I kept emailing her, hey, could you send it for me? Yeah, could you send it to me? I'd love to make it, blah, blah, blah. And she'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. And then it would never arrive. So I finally gave up emailing her and calling her and asking her for it. I had to marry the man to get the recipe. I married him. I'd completely given up and forgotten about it. About a week later, the sweet potato casserole recipe arrives in my inbox. She wouldn't give it up till I married into the family. So I make it for him now. Yeah. So what's yours? I guess I'm looking forward to making it all. I'm just into the season this year. I really wasn't last year, but I'm into the season. All right. Meantime, I was going to jump over the text line, but my entire system here is frozen up, so I'm not going to be able to do it. So it's one of those fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants moments in radio here. Yep, totally locked. Oh, here we go. Okay. Texter writes, great start for the week. Thank you. Be safe, focused, buckle up, and God bless. Well, thank you. Another texter writes, Tara, you and Lee seem to cover your butts all the time on what you both believe after common sense statements. But I get it. I do. Yeah, well, the higher up in this company you go, the more liberal the management gets, if you get my drift. Texter writes, nationalism was what happened during World War II. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, people misunderstand that Hitler's nationalism was the same kind that they practiced in communist countries and according to the manifesto. It was loyalty to party, not to country. Loyalty to party, not to country. It's a subtle difference, but it's an important one. And that's exactly what the Communist Manifesto talked about. That it was okay to have patriotism. That was great as long as the patriotism was toward the Communist Party of your country. It was not okay to have a nationalistic view of your country. Look, what was the whole point of World War II? What was the end goal? Germany is great. Let's make Germany right. No, what was it? Globalist government through conquest. Is that not the whole point of World War II when they spilled out of Germany? Yeah, they were spreading the party's rule everywhere. They were spreading German rule. That's not how they dubbed it. They were spreading Nazi rule. So I would say, no, you got that totally wrong. And the media tries to pass that off, too. They do. Well, no, Hitler was national. No. He was an extreme party loyalist, and he was loyal to his party because he believed that they had done and would do a great job rebuilding Germany. It's a subtle difference, but it's an important one. And that's what Macron was doing last week when he said in the same breath, and this is straight out of the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx, patriotism is good to the party. Nationalism to your country, bad. That you could be patriotic about your party coming from the land you live in, because it's, of course, a great idea that's going to culturally revolutionize the world. But you cannot be patriotic about your country. You can only be patriotic to the party. It's Nazism in a nutshell. Very little difference between communism and socialism. It's, yeah. Yeah, so nationalism, bad? No. No, it's not bad. And the reason that Marx and all of them had to knock down nationalism is because they wanted world government. I mean, in communism, you got to take everybody's stuff and the party in power gives it away to other people to keep the party. So, I mean, you got to have access to all the stuff. I mean, if you're nationalist, if you just have the Communist Party in one country, you're going to run out of stuff to give away. You need to go to other countries and steal their stuff. Texter writes, Hitler demanded loyalty to him and the party was secondary. Yeah, I would agree with that. But he was the party. The party was him. He demanded patriotism toward the party, toward himself, toward the apparatus, whatever you want to call it. Texter writes, so you're saying Hitler was a patriot? No, I'm saying Hitler demanded patriotism to his party. Don't twist my words. You're like CNN on the text line.